Psalms 23.
So I'll dine at the table in the midst of my enemies. My cup's overflowing, your anointing.
I want us to think about that picture.
I'll dine at the table in the midst of my enemies.
My cup's
overflowing, and your anointing.
Sit at the table.
So I'll dine at the table in the midst of my enemies. My cup's overflowing, your anointing.
Such a good shepherd. I can't help but to come into church and just feel the overwhelming presence of God. Where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. And I just love the word of God, and I love those staples that we get to have pictures of. And I feel like I can preach about it every Sunday, but to think that I could sit at a table. Many of us are sitting at a table right now in our life. The table of life. And the thing about life is that God doesn't excuse you from your enemies. He doesn't excuse you from your issues. But while we're in the face of our enemy and our issues, God says that I will fill your cup up to overflowing. And I will anoint your head with oil. That even while you're in the face of your greatest enemy and your greatest issue, you can see the abundance of blessings that God wants to pour over you. You can feel the abundance of the calling. That anointing signified a seal, an anointing of a gift, a promise, an entryway into God's favor, the anointing. God has a specific pouring and a specific time that he wants to pour that anointing oil over your life. Because he's a good shepherd. No matter how far away you've been or how close you've been, he wants you to know that you are so blessed and you have a father who has so many resources for you. So many things. Infathomable, I can never say that word, things for you, for me, for this church. I just want to praise God. This is the most people we've had at the Intersection Church on the Memorial Day weekend in the last 7 years I've been here. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is changing the face of this place. He's changing the look. He's changing the heart. He's changing the posture. But it's not, oh, I'm sorry. I went back on what I said. God is revealing a whole new nature of this church. He's not changing, but he's building on the foundation that he's already started. And I'm so glad that he's doing it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we've been walking with Jesus. How many of us have been liking walking with Jesus? No, just a few of you. Don't leave past. Y'all know me by now. You got to talk back to me or I'm going to belabor. I need like affirmation through head nods and yeses. So when I ask questions, I need like a thunderous like, yeah, amen. Have y'all been liking walking with Jesus? Yeah, there we go. Now we sound like a family. Come on now. You at home. Welcome home. Walking with Jesus. And we've just been going through the whole thing of from Jesus' birth to the beginning and the tension that he was brought. Even before he was born, people were on a mission to kill him. Then when he was born and people saw him, people were still plotting against him, the Pharisees and the teachers and the scribes. And Satan's coming to tempt him in the wilderness. And then he's coming out of the wilderness and he's healing people. And he's giving the Sermon on the Mount where he's just teaching bomb messages, dropping dimes on people. And blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are mourn. Blessed are those who are meek. And we've been going through all of that stuff. talked about the leper, the centurion, and how God is willing and able, no matter where you are in your life, whether you're the sick leper and you have no status, or whether you're the centurion and have a great status, God is willing and able to come all the way in between that spectrum and to love you right where you are. Aren't we so glad that we have a God that's willing? Amen. Amen. And then my brother Luke spoke last week, and he said that there's a difference between a crowd and a community. Jesus liked the community. He's not really for the crowd, because there's a difference between the crowd and the community. The crowd will step over you to get to their point, to get to the concert, to get to the stage. But a community, they won't move forward without you. There's a difference between the crowd and the community. But today, I want to talk to you about faith on mission. Everybody say, faith on mission. Now say it with conviction, faith on mission. Now, before I jump past that, I do want to hit a couple events that happened before we get to this. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Right after Jesus got done speaking and saying that there's a cost for following me, he says, foxes have holes and dens, but whoever followed me, you may not have a house over your head. And then from that point, he says, there's a cost. You got to sacrifice some things to follow Jesus. You got to sacrifice some things to come into this community. It can't be about you. It has to be about the greater good. It has to be about faith on mission. So regardless if you have a home over your head and whether you got your favorite car to drive or you have food for a meal, you got to have faith on mission. Everybody say, faith on mission. And so after Jesus started teaching this message, he left that area and then he went on this boat and he was sleeping and the storm was going. Many of us have heard this story and people thought that they were going to die. And Jesus says, oh, you have little faith. He comes out and he calms the storm. And Jesus shows us that he has authority over the storm and he has authority over nature. And then after that, Jesus gets off the boat. I mean, Jesus' life was full of just, we need an HBO series. YouTube, The Chosen, it's great. If none of you guys have seen it, I mean, it's so good. I mean, this man's life was just like one of his events. I'm like, Lord, if I could just have one of them events in my life, walking on water, I mean, stepping on puddles, I'm like, I'm doing it. Anyways. But after Jesus gets done calming the storm, he comes off the boat, and what is he greeted with? Two demon-possessed men that everybody was scared of. These people that nobody could control, and it says that they came out of the cemetery, and Jesus goes out to the cemetery, and he cast out these demons that nobody else could, and it showed that Jesus had power over evil. How many of us are glad that Jesus has power over evil? Because we don't fight against flesh and blood, people. There are spirits trying to attack you every day. There have been spirits that's been haunting you every day. And some of us in here, there are spirits that's within you that need to be getting out of there, that we know that we have a Savior that can conquer those things. Because we're not just flesh and blood. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are flesh. We are spirit, which is always willing. We are soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and we are flesh. We can't ever get away from those three things that make up our being. Until one day when God makes a new heaven, a new earth, and he gives us a new name, and we live in spirit with him. Amen? So Jesus cast out these demons, and he shows that he has power over evil. And then we get to this point that I want to talk to you about today, which is faith on a mission. I love that we can be people that have faith on a mission. I love that we can be a people that reflect Jesus' nature, because he had faith that was on the mission. Jesus, from the very time he was born, knew that he was called to be the Savior of the world. And he didn't allow one thing, not one sin, not one temptation to get in the way of him being a perfect and holy sacrifice for you and I. He has faith on mission. God, the author of the universe, is the only God we know of who would do every and anything to get to you instead of you having to get to him. It's crazy. It's crazy. He would send his only begotten son with a faith on mission for you and I. Right where you are today, right when you're sitting down in the midst of your trials, your hurts, and your pain, you have a Jesus who wants to pursue you, the one who leaves the 99 for the one. Why? Because he has what? Faith on mission. So I love why this is highlighted in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, but I'm actually going to read to you the same story, but I'm going to bounce out of Matthew for a moment because I need to go to the gospel of detail and action. For all those who know what gospel that is, that's the gospel of what? Mark. Mark is the gospel of like the suddenlies and the action. And when you want some details about a story, you go to Mark. So we're going to read about Mark today. You feel me, Mark? You got me, Mark? You got me, Mark? You got me, Mark? Where Mother Mark at? All right, I got three Marks. We messing with Mark this morning. We're not going with Timothy or Luke. He's out of town. I don't know where my Matthews are at. But Mark, chapter 2, verses 2 through 12. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then they lowered the mat. And then they lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So pay attention to verse 5 there. He says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Everybody say, faith on mission. Okay, one more time. Faith on mission. So let's move back. So this verse is literally talking about that Jesus has the authority to forgive sins. That is the premise of this verse. That's what the main thing of this verse is all about. But I want us to shift our minds right here is what provoked as we walk with Jesus. What provoked Jesus to move? What provoked Jesus to show that he does have authority over sin? That he does have authority over disease and brokenness. You see, some of you guys are like, I don't get it. Isn't like a paralyzed person, isn't that like a something like when you're hurt or something like that? But Jesus speaks to the heart because he talks about making people whole. Not about just healing the outward appearance. But Jesus says to the man, your sins are forgiven. Because he's making a point there. He said, not only am I seeing that this man is paralyzed, but I want to let this man know in a culture where people are saying that the reason why bad things happen to you and things of that nature, that it's sin because you're living a sinful life. But Jesus is trying to speak to the soul and everybody around him. He says, brother, your sins are forgiven. And because your sins are forgiven, you don't have to walk as a paralyzed man anymore. Or you can walk. But the point of this story And what we see in this is that Jesus was moved by the faith of four men. You with me? Faith on mission. You know, because there's a lot of crowds that follow Jesus right now. There's a lot of churches that gather around, and I love my brothers and sisters in Christ, but sometimes the focus is more, I'm gonna go to church today because it's the right thing to do. I'm gonna show up, church starts at 10 a.m. Some people, they get there at 9:50. Some people get there at 10:05. You guys know who you are, and it's all right. You get there between that range of time. You meet, you gather, and there's this, you know, have church, you listen to worship, and the pastor preaches a message, say, whew, that's a good message, pastor. Good one. Feels good. Leave the church and you just go right back to normal. No prayer. No anything. It's just I meet with the community and we just gather. We meet with the crowd and we just gather. That's the word I've been wanting to use this whole time. Sorry. The crowd. The crowd that comes together. But Jesus is looking for genuine faith. Jesus is looking for people who are walking with faith on mission. Faith that's on a mission. These four men, they see this crowd and they get to this house and they hear about this name of Jesus. And they hear that there's healing wherever Jesus is. They hear that there's breakthrough wherever Jesus is. They say, if we can get to Jesus, maybe, just maybe, if we can get to him, he can restore our brother. He can restore our friend. And if we were to take our minds right now into modern day, and some of us have even come here to church and we invited some friends and we said, if we could just get our friends to the altar, if we can just get our friends to church, maybe they can encounter. But what happens when the house is too crowded? What happens when there's distractions at the church? What happens when they don't sing the song that you want to hear? Or what happens when they talk about tithe and offering? You think about us, the church, oh, this church is just trying to ask us for money. Or what happens when the music is too loud? What happens when you don't like the way that this person is dressing? Or I didn't like the way that this person greeted me. And all of a sudden, what used to be this thing of when we were on mission to come to church, our minds started getting a little foggy. And that encounter that we were looking for Jesus actually starts to dissipate because church isn't really structured or looking like the way that we want it to look. It's not really what we're used to. They're not playing the songs we like. They're not really preaching that good message that we want. Has anybody ever been there before when you walked into church and you just kind of felt like a little distracted? It's okay. It's been me. But guess what? Life doesn't exempt us from things tempting us and tempting to distract us. Because that's the main enemy's job. He says, if I can just get you distracted when you get to church, if I can just get you a little bit off of that mission of why you came or why you invited that friend, he said, I'll win. You forget about that message. You won't think about the encounter with the Holy Spirit that's still living today, that lives in our brothers and sisters today. Nah, you don't encounter that because you were distracted at the pew wasn't cleaned out properly. But God is looking for people who have faith on mission, like these four friends were for their friend who was paralyzed, because they got to the house. And let's just say, for instance, it was the house of the Lord because the Lord was in it. And these four see a crowd of people gathered around in this house, and they say, we can't get in. And one of them probably looking like, well, I guess we ought to go home. Another one like, nah, we didn't walk this man too far from all this. And he heavy. He ain't been able to exercise and diet. I ain't walk here to get stopped now. We on a mission. Our brother needs to encounter Jesus. How are we going to make this work? What did it look? How big was the house? What ladder did they use? Did it look like they were using a hammock to get him up there? Two at the bottom, one climbs up to the top. Faith on mission. Ah, God, we listened to these two songs last week, but I'm ready to get to the throne room. I'm gonna sing these two songs that we sang last week. Yeah, we sing the same two songs 2 weeks in a row at the Intersection Church, for some of y'all who don't know. I'm looking for encounter. Reckless love. God's not reckless. It's perfectly calculated for me. Nah, just encounter. Focusing on God. So it's us climbing the roof. I gotta get to him. I gotta get that. I have to be able to get to that place. Whatever it takes. And for some of us, it's just calming our spirit. Calm down. Allowing things to slow down. See, these four men, they said, whatever we got to do. Maybe one had to calm the other one down that was saying, this ain't going to work. We got to get our brother to Jesus. So they get him on top of the roof and they're looking at each other like, all right, we only got one way to get to him now. Jesus in there teaching the message. He hearing. What's going on? Could you imagine? What would that interruption look like today in church? Somebody breaks through the doors of our church trying to get to Jesus. How would we react at the church? How would I react as a pastor? Will we look at somebody who's just trying to disturb the service? I mean, I hope our security will be kind of looking like a little bit, like making sure everything's kosher, you know what I'm saying? But as a church, will we be in tune enough with all of us on God to where we see that brother or sister who's on mission because they need an encounter from the Holy Spirit? Will we be in tune enough to see that there are some people here today who need an encounter? Because as these four men are ripping the clay or whatever they used to make these houses of and ripping the shingles off of this house, I'm just thinking, okay, what is Jesus doing as this is happening and as he's looking? And he sees these men who are well within their strength ripping open this house. Think about the tenacity of a friend whose faith is so strong for somebody to encounter Jesus. They're ready to rip brick by brick so their friend can see Jesus. Give me some friends that's ready to bust down a house so that I could meet Jesus. Give me some people that's ready to invade my life so strong in such a loving way and say, we're going to get to Jesus today. I see that you can't walk. I see that depression has you so low that you don't even want to leave the house. But I'm knocking on the door today. We're going to church and we're getting to Jesus. Calling that person that's been on your heart. Calling that person that's been on your mind. Hey, God's called me to go and to make disciples and baptizing people in Jesus' name. Today is the day I got to find somebody to allow them to encounter this man named Jesus, because he's been too good to me for me not to allow someone else to encounter his goodness. For someone to encounter his grace, his mercy, his healing. Brick by brick. Ripping off the top of this house. And all of a sudden, the mood of the room shifts from this teaching to this straight encounter. And I believe Jesus looked up and he saw these men. He sees these men who are willing and able, who are strong, who are taking on the same posture of Jesus Christ. And they have faith on mission. And he's moved by compassion. And he sees these four men lowering this paralyzed man down into this home. And what does verse 5 say again? He says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. It wasn't this thing of where the man was coming down from the roof and he's like, I've been paralyzed for my whole life. And he gave this whole dissertation on his illness or whatever is going on. No, it was by the faith of his friends that Jesus just out of compassion looked at this man and said, your sins are forgiven. It wasn't even a thing that he had to confess with his mouth and say, Father, forgive me. But it was because of the faith of some friends who are on the mission. At the Intersection Church, we need to be some friends that are on a mission. Because through us operating out of what God has called us to do, through him giving us the strength and what we have, the gift of what he's given us, the value, if he's given you, just even if it's just your mouth to invite somebody, come to my Bible study. Let's talk about the word. Let's talk about God today. Let's go to church this morning. Use what you have. All you have is all you need. Because that's all these four men used, was all they had. Was their ability to walk, their ability to lift this man up on a roof, and their ability just to believe that Jesus was going to do something. And Jesus healed this man. Why? Because Jesus is moved by people who have faith on the mission. Always moved, but never manipulated. Always moved, but never manipulated. See, because sometimes we can come together in a crowd and believe that we can manipulate something, and our hearts are so far away. And because we kind of do this thing and we halfway step to God, and we don't believe in the reverence of this throne room, and we don't believe in the reverence of this church, to where you can truly come as you are and God will cover you, but there still is this thing of reverence when you come in here. And sometimes we think we can come to church and just by us coming to church that God is going to be manipulated enough to encounter you. No, Jesus is not just looking for the crowd, but he's looking for the community that has faith on mission. He's even looking for the one who has faith on mission, because they'll influence the crowd. When you just give Jesus one person that has faith on mission, and he'll change everything around it. And the community and the dynamic will change. If you don't believe me, ask the woman with the issue of blood. It says that as Jesus was going to Jairus' house to heal a daughter, he was surrounded by a great crowd, and it says that they were thrashing about Jesus. And Jesus is walking with his disciples, and I believe there was something like Jesus is probably holding on to his disciples, and there's all these people around him that's crowding him. And he's walking with Jairus right now, trying to get to his daughter's house, because Jairus was this leader and he was going to heal his daughter, because Jairus even believed that Jesus could do it. And then there's this whole crowd that has Jesus, the one who can heal, the one that brings authority, he's the reconciler, he's the one that could give them any resource that they needed. And I'm sure that there was many people in this crowd that needed a Jesus that can come and encounter them. You feel me, Sister Danielle? This crowd is just, they're encountering Jesus, but they're not truly encountering Jesus. They're touching Jesus, but they're not really encountering Jesus. Think about that. To touch Jesus, but not to feel his power. But the one who was on mission, the one who had faith on mission, the woman with the issue of blood, who had this issue of blood for years and years and years, she also received a crowd and saw a crowd that was around Jesus, just as these four men were carrying the paralyzed man. But then she said, whatever I gotta do to get to this Jesus character. I read a verse that she would have known full well. It says that there's healing in his wings. And priests used to have robes. And it says that the end of their robes used to be called the wings. And so maybe this woman thought, okay, Malachi said that there's healings in his wings. And I heard that this Jesus character is the great high priest. They say he is the healer. If I could just get to the hem of his garment, maybe I can receive some power today. So she said, forget all the thing of trying to touch his shoulders. I'm going to crawl down on my knees and go from around the crowd, because I'm trying to be on faith on mission today. I need to get to Jesus and receive an encounter today. And it says as soon as she touched Jesus. Now, mind you, there's a whole crowd that's been touching Jesus. A whole crowd has been touching Jesus. But as soon as she touched Jesus. Because she had what? On what though? Yeah, we got to say the whole thing. We got to have faith on mission, because if you just have faith but you don't understand the mission, you get distracted. Some of us, we have faith in one moment. We're like, whoo, feeling good today. Church was good. But then we forget the mission. Okay, yeah. But I love that God blesses those who are poor in spirit, because it's the people that's poor in spirit that really say, I got a mission today. Nothing's going to stop me from getting my blessing today. Nothing's going to stop me from ripping open this roof so that my friend can get to Jesus today. Faith. Jake, faith on mission. Faith on mission. It says when this woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment, it says that her faith was so strong and she believed so much. It didn't say that some of Jesus' power withdrew from him. It didn't say that Jesus was, you know, going, he gave her a little dab of do ya. It says as he was walking, she touched him. It says that the power withdrew from him. Now, Jesus is on faith on mission. I'm going to go heal this man's daughter. But it's the one with the fervent prayers that comes towards him with tenacity when Jesus is moved. It says that the power withdrew from him so strong, he had to turn to one of his friends. Have you ever got hit with something so much and you just was like, whoo, what just happened here? See, some of y'all ain't never been in a fight before and lost. You get hit real fast and you're just like, whoo. See, I played football and I remember my first college play ever. I was running down the field with all my might. I got blew up. I stood up and was like, what's happening here? Which way did he go? And I believe Jesus, the power withdrew from him so strong that he was just like, what? He's looking at his disciples, who touched me? And he sees this woman. It says immediately this woman was healed. No conversation. It was her faith on mission. Do we see the man who was paralyzed in the Bible? There was no conversation, but he was healed. The woman with the issue of blood, there was no conversation, but there was faith on mission. As we walk with Jesus and we look at his life and we see what moves him, why don't we take a chance? Why don't we be a people that come into this church? Just have faith on mission. The faith that says if we can just get to Jesus and who this character is, if we could just make a step that way. What denomination is this church? Are you Pentecostal, Apostolic, Lutheran, Reformed, Catholic? Like what? We're a church that has faith on mission. A church that's trying to get to Jesus. A church that's wanting to invite a friend that needs that encounter. The one that can encounter that Holy Spirit. The community where our worship is so pure and so real for the person that's been skeptical of church their whole life. They just say, I don't know what this is, but I believe it. I don't know what this experience is, but I believe it. When we put our focus and our mission on Jesus, changes everything. He changes everything. There are some people in this room today that need a touch from Jesus. Worship team, can you come back up for a moment, please, for me? Step lively. That's how they used to say at my church. Step lively. Let's get up there. Here we go. Please. Step up on mission. Because I want us to understand, this is not a crowd. This is a community. This is not a crowd. This is a community on mission that's looking for Jesus to do whatever he wants to do. Not something that we are trying to be over emotional or anything. It's just focus. So you got to get to Jesus. If emotion comes, here we go. See, because some people want to try to indoctrinate the experience, but Jesus is, you got to be able to flow. We got to be able to go, right? Just get to him. Whatever the encounter looks like from there. Let's all stand for just a moment. Stand on one accord. Now, this is nothing I plan to do or nothing like that. But I'm going to ask a couple of my, I only got about two elders here today. The elders has gone out the church, but that's okay. I don't know what song we think we're going to play here. If everybody could just get focused. Get your mind on one accord. I just want everybody to focus. If you don't focus on anything else, I want you just to focus on this Jesus. All heads bowed, eyes closed. I just want you to focus real fast for me. If you could. Just focus on that name, Jesus. The man who said your sins are forgiven. The one who healed the woman with the issue of blood. I just want us to focus on him. Just for a moment. Understand who you are or what this is, or whether you tell another to lift up their hands and worship. God, we simply as a church come together as a community looking to you. Those who need healing, say, I claim my healing today. Just give it to Jesus because he's in this place. I claim my healing today. I've been on mission for a touch from Jesus. But I want to let you know that he's here today. He's here right now. Thank you. need to leave marked by you. That today they leave here with faith on mission, recognizing that they are a child of God, recognizing that they are renewed by you, recognizing that they are restored by you.
Brokenness, we can move in
such a way that you just want to pour your power and blessings on us. So God, I just ask that you pour it out today. Pour out your Holy Spirit power. Pour out your Holy Spirit power today. The one that allows us to know that we're never alone. That we always have a helper. That you always provide a way out. That there's no situation. Somebody needs to hear that today. You have a way out this morning. You came here feeling stuck. You have a way out this morning. It's through the Holy Spirit. All you gotta do is receive. All you gotta do is receive. All you have to do is receive. He will make your path straight. He will make it that you will not waver, because he will be your strength. You won't have to find the strength in your own. He will be your strength. He will give you a new mind and a new heart that's after his. He will teach you how to walk, how to talk, how to love, how to move in peace. Never say that he passed you by. here right now. He's present right now. Today, the choice is up to you. With all hands lifted high, I want you guys just to repeat with me. All those who really feel this, say, Lord, I receive you. I believe your son died for me and died for my sins. Make me new today. Transform me today. I receive you. Pray that prayer. It's one thing to say it, but it's another to live it. It's one thing to have faith, but it's another thing to have faith on the mission. We can encounter Jesus every moment of every day. That's what the Spirit is here for. He died on the cross so that you can encounter His Spirit every moment of every day, always. Today He didn't pass you by, but let's choose today that He came to fill you with His Spirit for you to make a choice. Amen. Amen.